Good morning. How's everybody today? This morning, you know, the statement is always made, a picture is worth a thousand words. I hope to paint a picture. In fact, I'm going to paint three pictures, but they're going to be in line like this this morning. And it brings on three different scriptures, but the one that gives me the title to it, it comes out of the book of Hebrews, and it makes the simple statement that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I'm not preaching on that. He is all of those things, but I'm not preaching on that. What I'm wanting to share with you this morning follows that, those simple words, yesterday, today, and forever, because that is the description of what life is. It talks about our yesterdays. It talks about where we are today. And it talks about where we're going that one day. But I picked up a passage of scripture coming out of men's Bible study the other night that we talked about Matthew's gospel in the 19th chapter, and we talked about the scripture about what we call religionist type people made. The rich young ruler. We know the story of the rich young ruler and how he came to Jesus and all those things. The passage is simply this. It's Matthew 19, 22. And the Bible says that, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. That's as simple as that. He went away sorrowful. And out of Luke's gospel, the 12th chapter, verse 19, this statement is made. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We know that passage. We quote it. We think about it because we hear it a lot. But the last one comes out of the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and it is at verse 23. And it says, in hell, this is the part, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. That's the end of that chapter. That's the end of that verse for this message today. Yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the Spirit of God paints pictures. He places it within our heart. He puts it in our minds. He does things that are so unique to him. And here he's giving three likenesses that would paint for us in the gallery of history when you read the scripture. Jesus using all three of these, and I know his intent were a little bit different than what I'm going to give you this morning. I'm going to try to portray a sequence of life and how life is today. Now, if I were to say that all three of these examples go together, that they are one life, that it talks about just that, well, that'd be very presumptuous on my behalf. And I'm not trying to be presumptuous on my behalf, but I think that they do go together because they represent the way we plan out our lives. They represent to me, at least in mine, a trend, a destiny of a heart that will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And therefore, I think that they all go together. And the first one this morning for you was simply this. And he went away sorrowful. And it is the picture of the rich young ruler. It is a picture of what Jesus was saying when that young man came to him. And I think the divine photographer had it exactly right. He had it perfectly laid out for everybody. This is the first phase of someone who refuses. Some would say an insurgent. Some would say that this type of life we ought to feel sorry for. But that's not the way the gospel presents it. In fact, if you would go on in Matthew's gospel, you talk about, he follows right up with this about the fact that rich people have a hard time finding the kingdom because it's not about money. Money's great. I mean, it can be fantastic. But when it becomes an idol, when it becomes a god, then it becomes a problem. This young man possessed every qualification for someone that could come to Christ. But he also possessed every qualification for a man who would become wealthy, for a man that would be have worldly success, something that Americans spend a lot of time thinking about. But when he gets right down to it, he knows in his own heart that there's something missing. And he's seeking out from Jesus that one thing. That's what he's looking for right there. That one thing that spells security. That one thing that would speak to himself and say, I've got eternity in hand. I know what I've got. So now he's in a valley of decision. He's in that valley because he doesn't understand what he's going to do. Oh, he comes enthusiastically. You know, the Bible says that he ran to Jesus. He ran and he bowed down before him. He did all those things. He sincerely is asking him, what am I missing? What good thing can I do to get this very thing that I am missing? And when Jesus begins to speak, of course, you know, he says, don't call me good, only God's good. But he's listening attentively. He's wanting to know what God is saying to him. What is Jesus going to say? And he's in great hopes. He's great, hopefully, that this is going to... He thinks that he's got the answer. When Jesus asks him the question and he lays out to him the commandments, this young man says, I've done them. I've done them all. Since I was a kid, I did the exact things that you're talking about right here. And then Jesus lays on him the very thing that he did not want to hear. And sometimes that's the thing that you and I don't want to hear. Oh, I'm not talking about your possessions, about giving everything to the poor. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the thing that occupies the center of our hearts. And that's what he was speaking to this young man about. And what happened? He stubbornly, he refused to do the very thing that Jesus said would give him what he was seeking. He stubbornly backed up on that very thing. And then sadly, he turns away. What a tragedy. A tragedy that happens over and over and over again in this world today. It's a tragedy that we must face. Here we are, the eternal voices that are saying, one is crying out to him, says, come to me because this is good. And then there's another voice on the other side, you know, the old cartoons with God, the angel on this side, and the demon on this side, and they're both hollering into the ear. Do you realize that mercy was knocking at his heart's door? This whole time, everything about that, truth was pleading with him. Follow me. Come to me. This is what they were asking, but it was to no avail. I can only imagine in his own heart, his conscience. His conscience was probably raising, wait a minute, stop, don't do this. But he wasn't listening to his conscience. He was listening to something totally other than his conscience. Even though they implored him to stop, to think about what was being said. And so the painting is given. The photograph is taken. And in the end, we know what took place in his life. It's a tragic life. In many regards, because he went away sorrowful. He did not have to go away sorrowful, but he did go away sorrowful. I can only imagine the tear that was going down those ashen cheeks was a sign of the real truth that was going on in his life. I can only imagine that his lips were quivering when he heard the very words that Jesus gave. I can see that his composure was totally betrayed. He was no longer that young man so sure of himself because he had heard something that just unnerved him completely. And the language of the way he responded spoke so many volumes about what he was going to do or what he wasn't going to do. It was all encompassing in that. How many times have you heard those kind of things in your own life? How many times has the heart been broken? How many times have you come to the place which you might call the high noon of opportunity only to follow a path that would take you to a midnight of oppression? How many times have the things that have been said to us only left us sorrowful? How many times have we walked away knowing that we should have sought out this, but we sought out something different? Knowing that the eternity was based upon this, but instead of accepting the cry and the call of Christ to be Savior, we listened to Satan and we went off to his snare because he has one is there. How many times would your character be wounded when you've kept the commandments, you've done the things that a man can do outside of God, keep all the things that he told him to do. But the voice that really counted for something, the voice that spoke to him in such a beautiful and comforting way, and that had to be the voice of Christ, he would turn a deaf ear to that voice. And he would stumble on in his life, even though it was a life that many of us would say, I wish I had that stuff. I wish I could have done that. And what was he clutching? He wasn't clutching Christ to his heart. He was clutching his possessions, his silver. That's what he was clutching. He was clutching the things that he thought were everything important to him, his possessions. What happened to him? Well, he wasn't in possessing them. They began to possess him. They became the dominating factor in his personal life. They were the ones that said, you're young, you got the whole future ahead of you, look what you already have, look what you can do with what you have. And that volume of voice spoke louder and louder in his own heart. And so he occupies the place this morning in my message as yesterday. And that's the title I will give to him, yesterday. But you can go into Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter, at verse 19, and we get back to that same story. And I will say to my soul, soul, man, you've got a lot of good things happening for you. You laid up all of these goods for many years. You're going to be just fine. Take your ease. Eat, drink, be merry, throw a party, do everything. It was the choice that was made yesterday. A choice that said, I'm going to live on the things I already have. I'm going to build upon the things that I've already been given. I'm going to listen to the God of this age. I'm going to listen to what the world has to say. I'm going to shower my life with the choices that I have already chosen. They are what important to me. My money, look at it, it's multiplied. I am rich. I've got everything. My fame. People know my name. They're impressed with who I say that I am. Look at the position that God, that has been allowed me because of my fame and because of my money and all of these things. Well, no one can match up to that one. All of these things account to one thing, how he views his own life. How he looks upon his life. He goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. My fields are full, but my barns, I don't have any more room for the thing. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down those barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. What was he doing? He said, my pantry's full. There's no more room in this place for anything that I have. But yet I have all these things coming in, and so therefore I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to do all of these things. And how did he rejoice in that? He said, soul, take your ease. Man, you made it. You're on top of it. You're in the Fortune 500. Everything's great. Everything that you ever wanted is right here. You've laid up all of these wonderful things for yourself for many, many years. Now, it's time. Eat. Yeah. Drink. Be merry because these have happened. What can I say to him today, you poor fool? You've counted everything about this life on something that is in this world and this world alone. People don't realize the game's not over till the last inning's played and the last out. They don't realize that every time that you want to live a personal life, that until God says it's over, it's not over. There's still time. There's all of these things. Unless the last quarter's played out, and the whistle goes off or the bell's rung or whatever, unless the book is completely read to the end, it's not finished. It's just not what we have. The last chapter is not made complete. It's what is facing us every day. And I'm sorry, I don't want to turn this into a morbid message, but I want to give it to you as truthful as I possibly can. This is a tale, yeah. I've added three things together, but it's a trail that has been followed all the way to the time of death for so many in our world. Thou fool, the word says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And that is the second picture. And that picture is called today. But there's one more. There's a third one, a third picture. The photographer made it very clear that the Spirit designs it and he lays it out forever. And it's a terrible picture, to say the least. It is a terrible picture. It's a picture that would come out of that 16th chapter. It would make a very clear statement. And he lifted up his eyes in hell. You got that part? In Hades. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, resting peacefully, because he had all of his problems in this world, where the rich man did not have his problems. But lifting up his eyes, the light came on. The light came on, but at that point, it was too late. It's too late to make a decision at that point. Life has already gone by. It's already passed us. It's what it is. And it's hopeless. Oh, I know what some denomination would say. I know what some religions believe. But to me, yesterday I made a decision. Today I lived a life. Tomorrow is eternity. And everything that I decided in this world as a young person, forever will be stamped upon my heart. And it's what's stamped on everybody's heart. The decisions that were made or not made. Look at all the good things that could have come this person's way. And look where he is now. Look where he's, as they say in Texas, where he fetched up to. Well, this is exactly where he is. You know, death is going to happen. It's 100% sure it's going to take. And Jesus said, well, I know this, that when it does take place, there will come a time of judgment. We'll give an account of everything that has happened in this world, every decision that we have made outside of those that are under the blood, that we have been saved from. But when we shirk our duties, when we have left it to God to make that decision, this is what death has done. It has driven a soul. It has driven a soul down a path that nobody wants to go. Oh, I'm sure that at death, many people have gone on to great things, to glorious things. We've rejoiced. How many times have we rejoiced? Right here. We've rejoiced over a life that was well lived, that everything was great, that they honored Christ, they lived for him, they did all of those things. But in this picture, this rich man left all of the mansions, all of his gold for somebody else. And that gold might have bought a potter's field. It might have bought a place for him to lay his head, to put his body. But as the story points out, it says he's lifting up his eyes in torment. He's crying out to Father Abraham over a great void and sees the very one that was mistreated all of his life, that he could have made a difference in his life, but he didn't. And he's seeing that one begging him. But that's a rich man. The rich man has become eternity's pauper. He has nothing when he gets there. You see, that's what death will do. It gives us the destiny. It's the final stamp upon where we will spend our eternity. And in this picture right here, and it's very, the dagger's already been thrust into the heart. It's already in place. In fact, I picked up that scripture out of Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11. He says, he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. You see, that's what's discovered in the night of death. That's what comes to the soul every time. When this mortal flesh gives it up. The very thing that we have hung on to so long. The very thing we fight for to live. To enjoy the things that we've been given in this world. But my friends, the day of grace was over for this man. The day that God had planned for him. The very opportunities that he had been given him. From the very time back in yesterday. And then in today, when he could have made a great decision for Christ. He refused to do that. And now every earthborn decision that he made as an old man at the time of death came to pass. My friends, the chapter's closed. The book is ended right there. The pen's been discarded. None of those things are there anymore. That great fire that once burnt, that everything was wonderful, nothing but ashes. Just embers laying around, that's all that was there. Because the instruments of divine grace are silent. The very hope that they had is silent. Because we make our decisions in this world. The very hope that we have is right now in this world. And the angels will droop their wings and say, lost. Because this is exactly what this man was. He was lost, and he was lost forever. He's gone. There's nothing sadder than that. No preacher wants to have a service for someone that did not know Jesus. Right. We don't want it. My only hope anytime I have that honor is to give you Jesus Christ, to lay out to the family, this is the hope of the world. But this man would not choose Christ. He chose to live his life, and for eternity, he was getting the result. Now, child of destiny, young people, you that still have plenty of youth involved within you, you can make a choice. You can make a choice to live for Christ, or you can plod along on the weary miles that are ahead, and there's a lot of weary miles. Your shoulders aren't slumped over from all the burdens that you carry because they're still bright and life is still good and it's still exciting. There's a whole future ahead of you. The sun, it continues to shine. Everything about it says, I got it, great things to go. But when the voice quits speaking and the last chapter is written, like this man, you'll go to a place that there will be no rail light. There'll be no hope. There's none of those things. It's only darkness. He's going to where the worm dieth not, the fire is never quenched. It's just the place that he had. He could have had Christ. He would have had Christ. In fact, in the place that he was crying out to Father Abraham, he longed to be where Lazarus was, but he was definitely not there. Why? Because he's gone. His life was past. Will we reject him? Will we say to Christ when he's calling out to us, and he calls all the time, his spirit is faithful to our hearts. It's not a one-time opportunity. Over and over and over again, Jesus speaks to us. And many times we listen and sometimes we turn our backs, but he continues to call and the spirit continues to come. And he comes back, he says, come here, come back to me. And we listen and we come back. Then we're like the children of Israel. We begin to slide away. We begin to get wrapped up in this, what this world has to have, give to us, because we do not recognize where our treasure is. Because when we recognize our treasure, we realize that's where our heart is. So where's your treasure? What has God has given to us? One day, somebody's going to inherit everything you got. They're going to get a bunch of bills from me. Be okay. But I can tell you this, that one thing they cannot have, and it will be the only song that I will sing, is that he is worthy. That's the song. It's not going to be a song that says, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Why? I'm going to add it, because today you're going to die. That's not the song that I will ever sing. I will sing a song that will rejoice over who Christ is. And you will too, if you know him as your personal Savior. If he has been the King that he longs to be, if he is the Savior that he longs to be, and I know he is, he's everything. There's no room for doubt in this, because he is loving and he is good to us in all things. We will come, like so many before us, to the greatest mystery of all the ages. How could he have loved me? How could he have loved me? Of all people, why would he love me? Why would he love you? Because he's God. Yesterday, he was God. Today, he's God. And forever, he will be God. His word is always going to be true. It's never going to back up. And that's why I chose that very word. The same. Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. Our hope is only in him because he's the same. A man's not going to provide it. A church isn't going to provide it. People aren't going to make it happen. Possessions of this world are not going to make anything go the way you think it ought to go. The only thing that we can ever hope for is that seek you first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And all these things that we get to enjoy in this world, they're going to be added unto you from the goodness that my Father brings. So where are you? Where are you in your decision? Have you decided in your own heart that life is worth living for Jesus Christ? My friend, the final chapter has not been written. You're still here. I see you. You're still breathing. Nobody quit breathing. You have that opportunity. The day of grace is still there. The song, the ending has not been done. God's still on the throne. He's still extending his mercy. He still extends his grace. He still extends his forgiveness to every one of us who have not walked perfectly before him. And he's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Yesterday, he did the same. Today, he's doing it right now. And my friends, forever, he will be God. And he can be your God. And he can live within you. And you can come to the end of your walk in this world. He only knows the time. I don't. And I'm not making predictions for anybody. I just simply said, as we get older, we realize more and more every day how wondrous Christ is and how important it is to live for him now. Let's pray together.